I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The tensions in eastern Ukraine boiled over today in the city of Slovyansk. It started when Ukrainian forces launched an operation to force pro-Russian separatists out of occupied buildings. At least two pro-Russian separatists were killed in the process, and now Russia's calling for new military exercises on its side of the border. Earlier today, I spoke with reporter Jacob Resnick about the thinking of the pro-Russian militants.
Well, I just came out of a very bizarre press conference. I'm in front of the occupied administration building in Slovyansk. I'm sheltered by the Lenin monument. And the conference was held by Vyacheslav Ponomarev, and he's the self-declared people's mayor of this secessionist movement. He said that earlier this morning, Ukrainian forces had engaged his men at checkpoints. He claimed that his men are unarmed at the checkpoints. They only reinforce with weapons if they're attacked. He says his forces only fired back in self-defense, and he claimed that the Ukrainian forces now have pulled back and that they're about 500 yards from his men's forward positions. He says that the caretaker government, Kiev, which he refuses to recognize, he calls them a junta or a band of criminals when he's talking more colloquially. He says that they're trying to provoke these guys into a firefight so they can use it as a pretense for a full-on invasion.
We know at least two people died in this operation. I assume Kiev launched this anti-terror operation as kind of a show of force. Do you think, from your perspective, did it accomplish what Kiev wanted?
I don't think so. I mean, so far, all of their so-called anti-terror operations have been disasters. The last one that they launched a little bit before Easter, the forces ended up actually switching sides, and their armored personnel carriers ended up in the hands of these militants. And actually, a few days ago, I was here, and I just saw them, like, they were just parked around the corner at the occupied police station. These guys are pretty heavily armed, pretty dug in. I mean, looking at the sandbags, they're about, you know, 7 feet high, stacked in front of the administration building. Reporters kept asking them, you know, would you want Russian troops here? Do you want to join Russia? And the closest we got to a straight answer, though, is he said, you know, if the Russian government situation is getting out of control, I wouldn't be against having Russian troops here.
What are you hearing from everyday people in Slovyansk?
You know, if you talk to people here, there's no love lost for the caretaker government in Kiev that took power after the Maidan. I mean, pretty universally, they're not seen as legitimate. That said, they don't want Yanukovych back. He's also very, very unpopular here. The real problem is there's a lack of trust between the West and the East and the South. People don't trust each other at all. Their grievances are usually economic. They're worried about just what, you know, any ordinary person would be, you know, having full employment, things like that. They want broad autonomy. They want to be, you know, in control of their own destiny. They say, look, we're not terrorists. We grew up in this land. We want to have it stay peaceful. An unarmed militia guy at a checkpoint asked us to get out of the truck and talk to him. He said, you know, look around us. You know, we're not terrorists. We're from this place. We're from the next village over here. You know, they're not trying to provoke any fight, at least, you know, people on the ground ordinarily. They're asking for autonomy, but I don't see anyone calling for necessarily want union with Russia or they want to, you know, attack the people from Kiev. Most people here just want to have their normal lives back.
Reporter Jacob Resnick speaking with us from Slovyansk. So what was the strategy for Ukraine's leaders in today's operation? I also checked in with the BBC's Natalia Antalava, who's now in Donetsk.
We know why they launched it. It has been very clear why they launched the operation. They launched it because they say these buildings and towns are illegally occupied by people whom they call terrorists, and they have to be freed, and things have to go back to normal. What we don't know is why did they withdraw? Why did they not carry it out to the end? It feels like they can't quite bring themselves to go to the end. It seems that they're terrified of provoking Russia and having Russia bring in the troops, and then they've got a war on their hands that they won't be able to win. So they know they have to do something about the situation on the ground because they most definitely don't control it. But they also don't know what it is that they can do.
I know these pro-Russian separatists have some guns, but if you line up the Ukrainian military next to these separatists, how do they compare?
Some units of the Ukrainian army, and I spent time with the soldiers deployed, army units that are deployed along the border. You know, they told us off the record that they are struggling and they don't have enough food and they rely on locals to bring them food. But the army units that we saw today in Slavyansk were certainly looked a lot better equipped than the pro-Russian militants are. But at the same time, I mean, like in the past and now, they seem to be under orders not to go to the end. And it's clear it's not the pro-Russian militants that they fear, it's their backers in Moscow.
Now, despite Ukrainian reluctance to provoke a fighting war, it does seem like things are escalating. How do you think Russia is going to respond?
Well, I'm looking at Foreign Minister Lavrov on my TV screen, speaking on Russian television, and you know we know how Russia has been responding so far with an increasingly hostile rhetoric, with hostile and threatening rhetoric. They are saying very clearly that if this carries on, if they say Ukrainians cannot control terrorists that are operating on their territory, and they don't mean the pro-Russian activists and militants, then Russia will bring in troops. Whether it will come to this point or not is anybody's guess, but it's certainly what people here are anticipating.
You also told us, Natalia, earlier that any potential war is up for Putin to decide. I mean, given Kiev's military response this week, do you still think that?
Absolutely. It's very obvious that Kiev is trying very hard not to fight. They're doing everything not to fight, even when in situations like this morning in Slavyansk, where you would have expected them to go until the end and take the town, but they didn't. It's clear that they're very nervous. It also leaves an impression, the government leaves an impression of one that's quite chaotic, not very organized. I mean, today the interior minister updated his status on Facebook, announcing that a government building in Mariupol was liberated. Well, apparently it wasn't. What does it mean? Does it mean that he's just trying to mislead people into thinking that it had been liberated, or does he not have proper information? Well, whatever the answer to that, people here are saying, well, that's not good enough.
The BBC's Natalia Antalava speaking with us from Donetsk. Thanks so much, Natalia.
Thank you.